All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm happy to welcome Sheldon Richman back to the show. He's the editor of The Freeman, the journal published by the Foundation for Economic Education in Irvington, New York, and serves as senior fellow at the Future of Freedom Foundation. The website there is fff.org. And then you want to click on commentaries, I think, is how to get the most recent stuff. Somebody's got to redo that site, man. Sheldon also is the author of Separating School and State, How to Liberate America's Families, Your Money or Your Life, Why We Must Abolish the Income Tax, and FFF's newest book, Tethered Citizens, Time to Repeal the Welfare State. Welcome back to the show, Sheldon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm happy to be with you, as always.
So you must be really excited. Tonight, Barack Obama is going to announce the beginning of the end of the Afghan war, Sheldon.
Yeah, I just wish I could be embedded, you know, just like MSNBC was with Iraq, and be riding on those jeeps out of town, and
right.
Celebrating this great triumph and for the peace movement. Yes, I'm being highly sarcastic. I hope it's coming through. Yeah, typical hype, huh?
Yeah, well, take us through the math. I think he started out with, what, 30,000, then he added 60 or 70,000 on top of that, and now they're withdrawing 5. So that's pretty good. We'll be down to 95,000
troops.
Yeah,
I think it was 70 when he came in. He added 30, so that brought him up to about 100,000. Now, if the reports are right that are coming out, leaking out about what he's going to say, by the end of next year, he'll be back to the number that were there when he came into office. That's how I read it, because it's going to be, I think, 5, and 5 immediately, 5 by the end of the year, that's 10, and another 20 at the end of 2012. Well, that's the 30, assuming he sticks to that, and that leaves then the original number when he came in. So he's just undone the highly successful quote-unquote surge. We've heard that before.
Yeah, well, surges always work, because the surge worked is a memorable slogan, and so that's how we know it's
right.
True.
So we haven't. He'll be saying that tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing is here too. It's kind of a riddle. The truth is, best I can tell, they haven't done anything as far as weakening the Taliban and strengthening their position to force the Taliban to negotiate, which was supposedly the policy here. All they've done is, as they escalate, they make the resistance against them stronger and stronger,
well,
like one of them laws of physics or something like that. And so I don't see why the Taliban should negotiate anything with them, you know, whatsoever. Are they?
Yeah, but you're one of those half-empty guys, right? Glass is half-empty.
I mean, yeah, when it comes to American foreign policy,
see,
I certainly am. Yeah.
You're missing one of the most dramatic signs of progress that occurred over the last 10 years. Namely, somebody pretended to be a Taliban spokesman and negotiated with us for 6 months. You don't call that progress? Come on.
And ran off with a truck full of cash, too.
Well, okay, so there's a little bit, you know, there's glitches here and there, but come on, you know, it's 2 steps forward, one step back. And it's one terrorist down and ten pop up to take his place. As you're very fond of quoting General McChrystal.
Yeah, well,
no, you're absolutely right. But that's not what we're going to hear. We're going to hear that there's been a lot of progress and we need to hold on to the gains. You know, this is the McCain line too, and so therefore we can't be precipitous and take everybody out. But on the other hand, you know, this is substantial. This 5,000 is going to be very substantial. It's all hype, and besides, it's all without context. I mean, look, even if he took everybody out today, if he took all 100,000 troops out today, it wouldn't change the imperial framework they're all operating within. So everybody's fixed on the trees and not looking at the forest. The fact that they even decide they need to get out of Afghanistan because of politics or the budget at the moment or whatever doesn't change the general framework they're still working in, that we have a right, we, meaning the U.S. government, has a right to police the world, be anywhere they think they need to be, Libya being the latest example. And in other words, they haven't changed the paradigm. Even if they decide they need to shift forces and, you know, cut back a little bit here because the budget's in a crunch at the moment and they got to look like they're actually serious about that. There's been no paradigm change. Nobody has. And look what's considered the spectrum here now. Obviously, Ron Paul and the people that actually do want to get out are basically ignored in the media. So the spectrum is McCain saying, you know, basically don't take anybody out because we can't lose the gains. And on the dovish side, and I'm putting quotes around that word, the dovish side is Romney saying we should bring him out as soon as possible. As soon as possible is considered the dovish position. That right. doesn't mean right away. As soon as possible could be 100 years from now. So why is that being regarded as the, you know, the dove position? I don't get that.
Well, it's, you know, this is something, I guess, especially over the last couple of weeks I keep harping on, is just the ridiculously thin, you know, if not completely transparent, at least translucent excuses and ridiculous slogans and things. You know, to say as soon as possible doesn't say anything. As soon right. as possible what? As soon as we make sure that the Karzai government will be able to rule all of Afghanistan without any remnants of the Taliban left anymore? Or as soon as yeah. possible what, man?
That's right, but that has been put forth as the dove position. It's hilarious. And this is what Pawlenty is now attacking. Pawlenty has to, you know, has to differentiate himself because he's not making any headway. So now he's attacking this dovish position of Romney's, because Romney's the, you know, the so-called front runner. And so that's being portrayed as the peacenik position as soon as possible. I can imagine during Vietnam all those people in marching with signs saying bring the troops out as soon as possible. That would have been yeah. a heck of a peace movement back then, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's the peace movement good. Today, as soon as possible. That's our slogan now. You're a bumper sticker guy. Can you get that made real fast? As soon as possible.
yeah,
that's my
go.
Bumper sticker. I want that.
And well, of course, Romney built in there. Slogan. As determined by the generals, you know, whatever they say.
Well, that's the fine print. But I'm going to the barricades over as soon as possible. That's my battle cry.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
that's the joke. That's the joke.
Yeah, well, and that's the policy. I mean, right? That's
right,
the...
right. And, you know, as long as we're talking about Romney for a second, he made some kind of idiotic remark about how we should know better than to go into a war of independence, or we should think twice.
Oh, right, yeah, we shouldn't.
What war of independence? There's no war of independence.
Well, yeah, of course there is. The Taliban are fighting for independence from the American Empire. Oh, simple as that. We're the Redcoats
and
well, they're the colonials. I don't know.
I'm not sure that's what he meant by it.
Maybe they're the Indians and we're the colonials.
I'm not sure what he must have thought we got into. He's probably thinking we got into it, you know, when the Russians, you know, obviously they were given arms and stuff to, yeah. during the Russian invasion. Maybe that's what he's thinking of, but I don't know. And then the other great myth, and you and I actually had some exchange by email today about this, is that we pulled out of, you know, we irresponsibly turned our backs on Afghanistan when the Russians pulled out. McCain is saying this now on the floor of the Senate, and he was lecturing Joe Manchin of West Virginia yesterday, saying perhaps he doesn't know that we pulled out of Afghanistan once before. And what happened? The Taliban came, and then Al-Qaeda came, and before you know it, we got attacked. Well, you know, that is so full of it from, you know, every point of view, every level. First of all, we never did get out. We kept aiding the Mujahideen, even when there were offers by the Russians to have all those parties sit down and kind of come to some accommodation. We discouraged that. We opposed it and kept sending aid and guns, I imagine, to the Mujahideen for years, at least three more years after the Russians were gone. So we didn't turn our back on Afghanistan. Unfortunately, we didn't turn our back on Afghanistan. The other thing is, even if the first part of that narrative is true, that's not the reason we got attacked on 9/11. I mean, that's dropping the whole imperial context. I mean, we were meddling all over the place for years and years and years. So,
well, and they had agreement from Clinton to with the Pakistanis to put the Taliban in, too, mm-hmm. in the first place. So, yeah, you're right. On every level, it ain't right.
No, that's one of the big myths. It's like, you know, the surge works. It's one of the big lies that doesn't have a shred of truth in it. But they'll just say it over and over again, and you'll never see it questioned on MSNBC or any, you know, you won't see it on Fox or MSNBC. Everybody's invested in this. You have to really go searching on the alternative media, listening to your program, because you have guests on who have challenged this. But you have to go find that, because it's not prominently, you know, talked about in any of the, you know, general media outlets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as Michael Shorey talked about in his article on antiwar.com that you sent me about Obama's Afghan ignorant policy guide, he points out they backed only the commies. And KGB guys like Massoud, they refused to back anyone who were their friends during the 80s, in the 1990s, too. But anyway, that's just one more wrinkle to it. We'll be right back, everybody, with Sheldon Richman on Anti-War Radio. All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Sheldon Richman, editor of The Freeman from the Foundation for Economic Education. And also, the Future Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. And we're talking about bogus withdrawals from bogus American wars. First, we just handled Afghanistan, the long war. And now to Iraq. You've got this great piece, Sheldon, the media distract the public from war, about the ridiculous scandals that TV news wants us to pay attention to while all these other important things are going on. And you focus specifically on assertions by high-level players in the American government that they're going to do everything they can to stay in Iraq.
Well, that's right. You know, what caused me to write this article, it prompted it, was all of the attention on television, especially cable news, on the Anthony Weiner case. And, you know, I thought that was somewhat newsworthy, but it was overshadowing the continuing war in Iraq, which, of course, was declared over last year. And isn't over around that around the same time as the week of the week of Weiner, five American U.S. Soldiers were killed in Iraq. That sounds like war to me. I mean, they were attacked in what, East Baghdad, I think. So it sounded like there was a war going on. Meanwhile, and of course, under the agreement that Bush signed with the Iraqi government, the troops are supposed to come out at the end of this year. But when Leon Panetta was being having hearings on his nomination to be Secretary of Defense, which of course he is now, he said it was very likely that that the Iraqi government was going to ask that we leave some troops there, an unspecified number of troops. And it seems to me that should have gotten a heck of a lot more attention than Anthony Weiner. I thought it was all coming. I thought all those troops were coming out. There's an agreement that says they'll come out. I wonder why the government of Nouri al-Maliki would be asking for troops to remain. It seems to me that would, I mean, there's 100 questions there, which you've explored. I mean, you've had Patrick Coburn on and other experts on that area discussing this stuff. But it's, you know, it's not important enough for television news. People, companies that pride themselves as being crack news operations, they'd rather talk about, you know, Weiner sending pictures of himself over the internet to women. So it's insulting. There's a war going on, and it didn't end in 2010, and they should be telling us about it.
All right, yeah. So you know, it's amazing. It really is. I'm not sure for all the exploration of it exactly what the thinking is. I mean, I know they figure that they stole it fair and square, and they mean to keep it, Sheldon. But you know, and hey, I guess I don't really know how to judge whether Muqtada al-Sadr, the Shiite cleric there. Oh, he's just some minor cleric. Don't worry about him. The daughter of a Republican donor in charge told Paul Bremer back in 2003. I don't know whether you know, he's really willing to start the war all over again to force this deadline or what. I mean, legally, they don't have a UN resolution authorizing the thing. I mean, I know the law doesn't mean anything, but that's why Bush had to sign the status of forces agreement. He thought anyway was that at the end of 2008, the UN resolution was going to expire, and he had to have an agreement with the Iraqi government to stay there. That's why they're trying so hard to get Maliki to, quote-unquote, invite us. Certainly, they've written up the confession. They just want him to sign it. But, you know, whether he needs us more or whether he needs Muqtada al-Sadr more, I thought was already determined. And so, you know, I don't know if the guys in the Pentagon think Sadr's bluffing or whether they want to start the war all over again. Why not? Or what's going on there?
Well, and I can't make that call either. I mean, I am happy to defer to people like to Patrick Coburn and the others who actually spend time there and know people, and that's why I look to your program to get the better information than I can certainly get. I will note, and it's in the article, that Gates himself, he's now gone, I guess, Defense Secretary Gates. I quote him in that article, and this was in the newspapers. I mean, I don't have any private channel. He said, we're not very popular there, meaning the U.S. government. So he didn't seem to think Maliki was going to ask that the troops remain, and he wasn't so sure it was a great idea even if Maliki asked him. Now, maybe he wants troops to remain there, but he was willing to say, pretty frankly, I thought, whether we like it or not, we're not very popular there. I thought that was a pretty big concession on Gates's part.
Yeah, well, yeah, indeed. He kind of thought, I guess, the last week in power, he'd say a couple of things like, How does NATO expect to wage war all over the world if we got to pay for every bit of it? Which is kind of a specific complaint from a U.S. defense secretary, but there's meaning there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there is this agreement that we're supposed to be out. Now, we're not counting, of course, Hillary's private mercenary army. So that's when we say out, we don't mean that, because after all, that Vatican-sized embassy has to be guarded, doesn't it? So
yeah.
The former Blackwater, the company formerly known as Blackwater, will be doing all right because they'll have private troops for Hillary to take care of things with.
Yeah, that's going to be problematic. I can see a Saigon, embassy roof, helicopter, narrow escape type ending going on right there with just mercs that, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to turn around and run if they get shot at. They already got their money.
Right. Another possible strategy is for Obama to say there's no hostilities in Iraq. They're not hostilities,
right.
and therefore we can leave the troops because when we signed the Status of Forces Agreement, we were presuming hostilities. Now there are no hostilities, and therefore the agreement doesn't apply. There's precedent.
Which runs counter to their argument that, we might have to stay because five guys got killed.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And then that argument was made. I mean, that's what Panetta was saying. Panetta was saying that maybe this means that things are too dangerous. But, of course, you know, you had Patrick Coburn on last week, and he said he had the opposite interpretation. No, maybe they were killed because there's suspicion that the U.S. is going to stay. And that might be a good reason to get them out, and that way troops won't be killed. But,
yeah,
you know,
well, that's certainly what the people are rallying about. And, you know, something that maybe this should just, you know, remain unmentioned because why bother? But then again, I kind of like it, is that Barack Obama is a dirty, stinking liar, man. He said that all of the soldiers would be out within 16 months, that we could take that to the bank. I don't know if he meant, you know, Lehman Brothers or what.
Well, or the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
So, I'll be honest. I don't support the troops, and you can tell that by the fact that I want to follow policies that would remove them from harm's way.
Yeah, you, that's American,
you know, that
traitor, you.
That's how you know I don't support the troops.
Why
I
do you hate America so much?
Take them out of harm's way is apparently not supporting the troops.
Yeah, everybody knows that. To support the troops means you let a bunch of politicians send them to a desert to die so that Muqtada al-Sadr can be the Ayatollah of Iraq.
Besides, I mean, we need troops for Libya, so we got to take them out of somewhere, don't we?
Yeah, that's true. They'll have 5,000 coming out of Afghanistan. That's pretty good. And, you know, I don't know how many Marines it really takes to sack Tripoli, but I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
Well, maybe. I think the resolution that's in the works that what McCain and Curry and those guys are working on would say no ground troops, but, you know, there's always ways of construing those provisions, as we know. So I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in Curry and McCain come up with. I'm glad Curry has remained such a pro-peace advocate, too.
Yeah, well, I like these two presidential losers are behind this, and the Senate makes it extra funny. But and I haven't seen the language of the thing, but I know the UN resolution said no occupation forces, which sounds to me like Bill Clinton wrote that thing. Man, we can have any kind of force in the world as long as we don't call it an occupation force. In fact, Eikenberry just dressed down Karzai for calling the force in Afghanistan occupation force the other day. Everybody knows it's not.
I was just going to point that out. I think what they're saying about Karzai and to Karzai is absolutely hilarious. You know, they can't make up their mind. Are we there? Are we in it? Getting back to Afghanistan for a second, and it comes out when they dress him down, when they dress the Karzai down. Are we there for our benefit, which is what they say sometimes, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, we're there for the Afghani people's benefit. They can't quite make up their
mind. Those little girls got to go to school somewhere, man.
Yeah, but I wish they'd get the story straight, because when Karzai gets mad about civilians getting bombed, you imagine him getting touchy about that, and calling the forces occupation forces, we then say, oh, yeah, well, we've been doing you this big favor all this time. That's a nice thing to say. On the other hand, if you and I say, let's get the troops out, we're told we're there in our national security. Don't you care about America's national security? Well, which is it? Whose benefit is it? You know, that's a sign of a liar when, you know, their alternate days are saying have different stories justifying their actions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, that's the thing about all these. I mean, I guess Iraq, if anybody wanted, there's light at the end of that tunnel to get out. But the rest of these just seem like you know, short of Ron Paul, we're going to be in North Africa and Central Asia for decades and decades.
Remember the paradigm. I mean, we can't let these details overshadow the bigger picture.
Yeah. All right, everybody, that's the great Sheldon Richman on the American Empire at War Forever.
Thank you,
Find him at fff.org. Thanks, Sheldon.
Thank you.
See y'all tomorrow.